Blog Talk Radio.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor?
This heavyweight bout is about to begin.
What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
Ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screens.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you for listening to the second half. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, or you can become a fan of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. Please don't forget to mark the show as a favorite, okay? If you're listening, mark it as a favorite. And if you have a question today, you can call in 646-929-0368. Do you know that there are 27,000 deaths, men dealing with prostate cancer? This is according to the American Cancer Society. Do you also know that heart disease, according to the CDC, is the leading cause of death for men? Did you know that there are men are affected by diabetes, which also affects their sexual health? So you could have diabetes that is affecting your sexual health as a man and not know it. So that's why I'm doing this show today. I have two wonderful guests with me today, Dr. Ronnie Whitfield, a.k.a. the Hip Hop Doc. He did a 12-month campaign, 5 days a week, talking on WEMX Max 94.1 FM, trying to get people more aware about health issues, HIV, diabetes, high blood pressure. He's also was touring with Tavis Smiley. He did a book discussing Not in My Family, which had Monique, Patti LaBelle, Hill Harper, discussing AIDS in the African-American community. My other guest this morning, Dr. Charles Modlin, is a kidney transplant surgeon, urologist, and founder and director of the Minority Men's Health Center of Cleveland Clinic's Glickman Urological Institute. I'm sorry. I believe they're on the line right now. Good morning, Dr. Whitfield.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Dr. Modlin?
Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for both of you joining me this morning. I think it's just a wonderful show to have because, unfortunately, so many sisters that I talk to who are married, their husbands are ignoring their doctor's advice or they're not going to get their checkups or they're thinking it's not too bad, it's just a bump, it's just a small bruise. But it can lead to something greater. Dr. Whitfield, you deal a lot with young men trying to connect with the hip-hop. What are you hearing with them and how they're dealing with their health? What are some of the barriers that are stopping them from dealing with their health?
Most men, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. Fear, actually. They don't want to know what the answer is. It's amazing you got – I work in the prison system as well, Joy, and so a lot of men don't want to know their HIV/AIDS status. And I try to educate them about the potential for spreading and harming others. So a lot of things like being time, lack of education, or fear that I don't want to go to the doctor and find out is some of the barriers that I do see in my practice and at the prison system, in the prison system.
Dr. Modlin is not only the sole African-American transplant surgeon in northeastern Ohio, but he represents one of only 17 African-American transplant surgeons in the entire United States. I just want to thank you so much for coming on this morning. And you're working with the Minority Men's Health Center. Tell me why you decided to start that center.
Well, you know, we started the Minority Men's Health Center at Cleveland Clinic back in 2003, really as a way to address a lot of the healthcare disparities that are disproportionately afflicting and affecting especially African-American males. Our first disease target was prostate cancer, which kills twice as many black men as Caucasian Americans in this country. And a lot of these issues and situations don't have to be occurring. So, you know, we thought that we would develop this dedicated Minority Men's Health Center really to address a lot of the healthcare disparities, prostate cancer, hypertension, diabetes, kidney disease, heart disease, and a number of conditions that many of which are preventable.
Definitely, definitely. I had Charlie Wilson on here. He was a singer from the Gap Band talking about his battle with prostate cancer, and thank God he was a survivor. Dr. Whitfield, now, what are some checkups that men need to get? Say they're under the age of 40. What are some checkups when they go to the doctor? What do they need to ask the doctor about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different, there's recommendations all over the place. What I do in my personal practice, I like to see my patients every year. what insurances will cover and what the doctors do are two different things. A lot of recommendations will say, you know, if you're 20 to 39 and you see the doctor every 3 years, I like to see my patients every year. If it's discussing the general health, sexual health, I can get a blood pressure every year, especially in the African-American community where we have a high incidence of high blood pressure. Depending on certain risk factors, you may want to test a TB skin test. If they have family histories of high blood pressure or they're at risk, you want to check in your analysis to see if there's any kidney damage. Again, Joy, a lot of the recommendations are age-dependent, and also if the doctor has to become very creative in sometimes getting these tests done. One test that I have problems with my African-American gentleman, and I'm sure Doc will agree with me on this too, is the digital rectal exam. Black men are sometimes not cool with having an exam, and what I tell them is that real men get it checked. Because
mm-hmm.
you're so concerned about your family and you're working hard and you want to take care of everyone, you have to get your prostate exam along with the blood test. They're individually, they're not as good. You need both tests to determine whether a person has prostate cancer or not. And even getting those tests, it's still not 100%. So having the relationship with your doctor, describing symptoms that may present with prostate cancer, all those things are important.
Yeah,
I like
definitely.
Doctors to chat in on it as well because, I mean, there's so many tests that you could do. It's being a clinician and knowing what needs to be done and what's recommended for age-specific diagnoses.
Well, one of the things I talked about earlier was the issue of diabetes and men's sexual health. And Dr. Milam, would you mind speaking about how diabetes can affect men's sexual health in that area?
Well, you know, a lot of men, especially African-American and other minority males, are reluctant to even bring up the issue of sexual health. But the leading causes of erectile dysfunction are diabetes and hypertension. And, you know, some of the medications that we actually use to treat hypertension can also cause the erectile dysfunction rather than the hypertension itself. And
yes,
so, you know,
I heard that. Somebody told me that their husband didn't want to keep taking their medicine because they were concerned about that. How can you get some kind of balance with that?
Well, actually, if you go in and talk to your doctor, usually it's the family doctors, such as Dr. Whitfield, who are actually, you know, the front lines treating the hypertension. Just go ahead and you know, mention it to your family practitioner that you're having difficulties, and they can actually change medications. There are several different types and varieties of antihypertensive medications that sometimes, you know, the doctor can actually just change your medication and solve the problem. But we do encourage people to actually, you know, speak up and let their physicians understand what the issues are, what kind of problems they're having. One of the big points is that we want to avoid the patients developing hypertension, diabetes in the first place so that they don't develop these erectile dysfunction, you know, problems.
Yes. Dr. Whitfield, and when you're out there, you're working with some men in the sports, and you also mentioned the prison. In terms of fitness, how many minutes a day? I mean, I hear about an hour a day. I hear 30 minutes a day. I mean, for men, what is the number of hours that they need to get a day and to maintain their fitness level?
Well, it's again, there's the American College of Sports Medicine, American Academy of Family Physicians. For adults, they'll say 30 minutes of activity, 25 to 30 minutes of activity a day. But what I try to encourage my patients to do, Joy, is to be active every day, especially someone that's been sedentary all their life, that's not been exercising on a regular basis. A lot of men say, well, I walk at my job every day. I have a, you know, labor-intensive job. Your body has been accustomed to doing that. So in order to expend more energy, burn more calories, and potentially improve your health, you need to do more than just what you do at your work every day. So I try to tell them the benefits of exercise and encourage them to do at least 10 to 20 minutes more than what they might do on a typical day. I mean, exercise lowers blood cholesterol, blood pressure, reduces inflammation in the body, which we think may be more of a risk for heart disease than actually the LDL, which has been some controversy about is it cholesterol or is it cholesterol plus other factors. So the benefits of exercise go beyond just weight reduction, but it can reduce inflammation in the body, improve blood vessel flow, improve your blood sugar. So it's going back to the whole patient. Again, I agree totally with what the doctor said. You know, you're addressing the whole patient, and sometimes the physician's at fault because he will not ask the patient those questions. Some of your patients may feel uncomfortable. And I had a female patient in the office the other day said, Dr. Whitfield, I'm embarrassed to ask you something. I don't know what she's going to ask. And she said, well, I'm feeling depressed, and I just was scared to ask you. And I said, listen, you need to find another doctor. And she got faceless and said, what do you mean? I said, if you don't feel comfortable with me, you got to find another doctor. And I was joking, but it was also serious.
Yeah.
With your doctor. You know, you need to find someone who can help you, and I'm sure Doc will attest to that. You have to be able to communicate with your patients and feel comfortable. And because I work in a prison system, I ask about sexual health, I ask about risk factors for HIV/AIDS, and I know in African-American populations some of these things are high prevalence, so you have to ask those questions.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Modlin, one of the things that I really was drawn to is that you're dealing with minority men and, unfortunately, all these disparities. But the issue of having a provider that you feel comfortable talking to, you know, African-Americans here in this in the United States have an issue with trust. When you read a lot of studies in the different journals, that the reason minorities don't talk to their doctors about certain issues is the issue of trust. In terms of cancer, they're afraid of, well, if I get cut, then it's going to spread, all these myths. How do you combat that at the Minority Health Center?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult problem, and I really commend you actually for having Dr. Whitfield and myself on your show to discuss these things. A lot of it's just about knowledge and awareness. We call it health literacy. Yes, there are some trust issues, but we need to actually encourage people to take their health care into their own hands and get beyond, you know, the trust issues. We actually help teach the patients to communicate better with their physicians. We use a program. It's called Ask Me 3. It's actually a program developed by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals Company. But actually, if you can actually empower your patients to develop a better understanding of their own conditions and take charge of their own health, if you teach them to ask their physician 3 questions. Doctor, what is my problem? What do I need to do about it, and why? And actually, if you can ask those 3 questions to your physician, you'll be in a much better situation and much more empowered to take care, better care of yourself. But the trust issue is a very difficult problem. What we've been doing at Cleveland Clinic, the Minority Men's Health Center, to combat this trust issue is actually spend a lot of time out into the community. We actually go out to the churches. We work with the sororities, fraternity organizations, and become part of the community, you know, minority community organization.
Right. That's very important. That's very important. I mean, I think if you're at a church or if you're at a community group and you're not dealing with health issues, maybe you need to change the organization, because our health disparities in the African-American community don't have to be this way. And I think what Dr. Modlin and Dr. Whitfield are doing is wonderful, and that's why I have both of you on the show. I want to talk to Dr. Whitfield about the issue of aspirin and heart disease. Tell us about that. How is that helpful, taking aspirin?
Aspirin is an irreversible inhibitor of platelets in the body. So it's believed that if a person takes an aspirin a day, that it will reverse platelet aggregation and prevent blockages in arteries and heart attacks and strokes. There are some risks with aspirin, however. Again, it's an irreversible inhibitor of platelets, and it can thin blood. And so people with bleeding disorders, or it has potential to cause ulcers, irritation of stomach, there can be some risk factors with aspirin. So before people get on this big kick about taking aspirin every day, they need to talk with their doctor. Now, some other positive benefits potentially for taking an anti-inflammatory aspirin is the reduction of inflammation in the body and potentially reducing your risk of heart disease. So there are some potential benefits, but there are also some risks. And, you know, the reason this show is so great, and I totally agree, Dr. Modlin is right on point, and it's a blessing to be on the show, is that if we don't educate our community about this stuff, you can get information from the television and from the Internet, but without talking and discussing these things with your doctor, you can get yourself in some trouble too. So mixing medications or taking things because, you know, someone said that they took it, or trying other patients' medications is not the way. You got to find a doctor you're comfortable with, and then you can discuss those issues with them directly.
Definitely. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to Dr. Modlin about also is bladder stones. Explain what they are and what the signs are and how you can take care of those.
Well, there are a number of reasons an individual could actually develop bladder stones. Both males and females can develop bladder stones. In females, they're most commonly associated, in males and females, many times associated with patients having diabetes and having what we call neurogenic bladders. It's a condition where there can be some neurologic damage to the bladder where it doesn't actually adequately empty, and so the patient has residual urine which can actually become infected and then form stones. In men also, oftentimes it's associated with what we call enlarged prostate, benign prostatic hyperplasia, BPH, where the bladder really doesn't empty, and so you have a high urinary residual, and then you can subsequently develop these bladder stones. Some of the first signs are patients who have recurrent urinary tract infections that actually are very difficult to control. You know, the patient may be given a prescription of an antibiotic, take the full course of antibiotics, but the infection doesn't go away. That could be one of the first and most significant tip-offs to the doctor that you may be dealing with a patient with bladder stones.
Okay. Now, also, something that we don't really talk about a lot maybe in our community is circumcised or not circumcised. And Dr. Modlin, there are men out there who are not circumcised. How do they need to take care of themselves? Is there a different way that they need to take care of their cleanliness? And also, some people think, oh, my God, they're not circumcised. And as a woman, you can't be intimate with them. Can you dispel some myths about circumcised and not circumcised?
Well, you know, there's some controversy in terms of whether or not all males should be circumcised. And, you know, a lot of times there are some religious preferences also, and, you know, either for or against circumcision. But, you know, uncircumcised males are at somewhat higher risk for developing penile carcinoma. And the ways really to in which to prevent this and take care of themselves is to have them reduce the foreskin, cleanse that area just to make sure that it's kept clean and dry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the major risk factors are the fact that you can have a higher incidence of developing penile cancer, and also it's believed that it can lead to a higher incidence of developing some STDs as well.
Dr. Whistle, let's talk about that. The STD. I'm sorry, Dr. Modlin, to interrupt you, but I just want to bring Dr. Whistle back into the conversation about the issue of STD. And you mentioned several times about going to prisons and getting tested. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I've had so many conversations, and I've done two shows with the National Minority AIDS Council. Hydea Broadbent, she was a young lady who was born with AIDS, and a lot of the medicines that are. Yeah, why don't we want to get? Why do men don't want to talk about this? I mean, I have lots of sisters, and I say friend sisters, and I say, well, did you talk to them about taking the test? Well, why don't you go together? You can get the rapid oral HIV test. I mean, how can we as women talk to men in a non-nagging way, Dr. Whitfield, about getting this important test?
To be honest, Joe, I have a beautiful 4-year-old daughter, and I hope she's one of those nagging women one day. Because it's so important. I mean, the fastest growing population of HIV positive people in this country are African American women, but still African American men are more infected. So, you know, and women do IV drugs, and women have unprotected sex, and the same thing. But you know, a lot of times this HIV epidemic has been based off of the quote unquote the down low brother of men having sex with men. But there are multiple risk factors, and again, it's that HIV positive male who's having heterosexual sex with his significant other. So it's another barrier, again, being tested, convincing men that using condoms is okay, and also convincing these women to have pride and love themselves. I mean, this 5 or 10 minutes of pleasure that you may get from a man could actually destroy your life. And unfortunately, a lot of the advertisement now with the guy with the big strapping muscles climbing a mountain saying, I have HIV and I'm doing fine, has also kind of put a myth out there like, okay, I guess you have HIV, it's okay.
You're going to be okay, you're not going to live a happy life, you know? I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
no vaccine, no cure. The medications that are prescribed can cause heart disease, can cause kidney disease, can cause liver disease. So it's nothing that I would want, and I'm sure Dr. Mollis would want to deal with that either. I don't want to be a poster child for HIV. But again, it's going to be breaking down some barriers, getting to the education. What used to be called the stroke belt where I live, I mean, the Bible belt is now the stroke belt, the HIV belt. The southern states are being hit hard by diseases, and most of these are due to behaviors. So we got to start educating, getting in the community, doing things like they're doing in Cleveland, and just trying to educate our patients. I mean, being more visible, we need African-American doctors in the community educating African-American patients.
Yes. I want to talk to Dr. Modlin. Now, one of the sensitive issues, going back to men's sexual health, when you decide whether you're going to have a child and birth control issues, the issue of having a vasectomy, what are some things that a man needs to think about if he wants to get a vasectomy, and what are the risks involved in getting a vasectomy?
Well, you know, actually there was a publication in the Journal of Urology several years ago that suggested that vasectomy is associated with higher rates of men developing prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That actually was pretty much refuted by additional investigators, so that's not really an issue anymore. But when somebody comes to me, you know, requesting vasectomy, you know, we always tell them to make sure that they discuss it with their wife, their spouse, their significant other, just to make sure that they've thought it through.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever we do a vasectomy, we do it, we take the approach that it's going to be a permanent sterilization situation. There are certain situations that have happened where it actually can, recanalize to where, anytime you do this, it's not necessarily 100% effective. But the major risk factors, it's a minor surgical procedure. You can have some discomfort. You can have infection at the surgical site, some bleeding, situations like that. But there are no major risk factors associated with vasectomy. Usually it's done as an outpatient procedure with a patient awake just under a local anesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that's becoming increasingly popular in the United States. It's actually very popular in other countries as a form of sterilization and birth control. And there are actually fewer risk factors for males to undergo vasectomy than for women to undergo tubal ligations. So
okay.
we do believe it's an effective means of birth control.
So you heard it here first, people, okay?
Joe, I want to add on it, too, that it doesn't prevent sexually transmitted diseases. So a lot of my young people, I want a vasectomy. Well, just because you got a vasectomy doesn't mean that you won't get gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, or syphilis. So
mm-hmm.
there's still an education piece that has to be done in that whole thing. It goes beyond just, hey, I'm going to have a vasectomy, so I won't make any more babies. Well, no, it's a little bit more than that. We need to talk about just, you know, that doesn't mean you can just go wild out and have all our smorgasbord or having sex.
Exactly. But I'm glad that Dr. Marlin mentioned about it. It's a minor procedure. There's some side effects. But I know that you guys, I'm saying guys because that's what we're talking about today, are very sensitive about the area of your body. but these are two wonderful doctors telling you today that it can be done and you'll survive and still be able to bring pleasure to your partner. But I want to play a quick public service announcement about prostate cancer. I think we talked about earlier men just being really uncomfortable with getting that particular test, but I want to play this public service announcement.
Okay.
Come in.
All right.
Mr. Pilkington, and how are we today?
Yeah, I'm all right, Doctor. Yeah, I've just come from your checkup.
Okay, then. Pop your pants off.
What?
Just pop your pants off.
Well, why have I got to take my pants off?
Well, because I have to pop my finger up your to check your prostate gland.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I am worried about it, because prostate cancer kills 10,000 men every year in Britain.
You can check that out if I get any symptoms.
Well, there aren't always symptoms, and symptoms do vary from man to man, so the best way to check it out is I just pop my finger up there.
I'm really
and have a feel. Just don't worry about it.
Wait. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know why he was worried. You probably saved his life there.
Does he have to be here?
He's just a mate. Don't worry about him. He's just watching me at work.
Prostate cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in men. The chances are you know someone who's affected by it. To help make a difference, please donate now.
Well, I think that's a hilarious public
Dr.
service
Martin,
announcement.
I got to ask Dr. Martin, if he would see that doctor now, I don't think I'd go to him.
Right.
He's a little too blunt. Wow.
But he got the job done, though. You know, he got the job done. The guy was like, oh, that's it. It's done. It's over, you know.
I guess so. I guess so. That's a good commercial. That's a good one.
That's a good one. I want to talk about this issue. We have a lot of men who are in the services, and we touched on it briefly, the issue of depression, and you mentioned about a female patient. But for men, I was talking to a young friend of mine earlier, and he didn't have a role model to show him about his different emotions. And so when he got depressed, he didn't know what was going on. He was very angry, and you know, he eventually did go see a therapist. Dr. Whitfield, what do you say to young men about their emotions? Because that's we talk about physical, but we also have an emotional side of human beings. And for men, you know, suck it up. I don't want to see you cry. Be a man. Men don't cry. What do you say to the young men about this side of themselves?
We have an emotional health, a mental health as well as a physical health, and the mental health is just as important. So people kind of downplay that. And typically my men patients will get insulted. I'm not crazy. You know, my wife said I'm depressed, and I ain't crazy. But the key to that visit is the fact that he actually came. So after having some discussion, and again, it's about the patient-doctor relationship, the rapport has to be there. You can sometimes get that information out of the patient. So a lot of times I encourage individual sessions with the patient, myself, and then at some point bringing the spouse in, because a lot of times that wife or significant other can give you a lot of information. But I tell my men, it's okay to cry, it's okay to be upset, it's okay to be depressed. The problem is depressed men that attempt suicide usually are pretty successful at doing it. So you want to make sure that you explain to both parties, the wife or the girlfriend, whoever it might be, how serious this disorder can be. And that now we are losing men to suicide, which is a permanent, you know, answer to a temporary problem. I don't care how bad life is, you know, suicide is not the answer. So it's another tough arena, and it just seems like everything you bring up, Joy, it's just tough to address these men. But in my personal practice and experience, it's just being comfortable asking those questions. And sometimes it may not happen in one visit. And if you're able to get that patient into some counseling, one-on-one sessions with therapists, that's even better. But again, African-American men tend to be resistant. I'm not crazy. You know, that's not what it is. You know, I'm just angry. They have a lot of excuses for not being depressed or not being anxious. So it's
a lot of excuses. That's the key word right there, Dr. Whitfield. You guys are listening to this show. Those are excuses. I'm not trying to get you in trouble.
Hey, that's a man's law.
Yes, Dr. Modlin. Dr. Modlin.
I would actually like to add on to what Dr. Whitfield said, and you were talking about the importance of addressing mental health in you know, African-American males. In the Minority Men's Health Center at the Cleveland Clinic, we also are addressing the impact of spiritual health as well. That's something that needs to factor into the equation as well, because there are a lot of men, when diagnosed with conditions, I'm sure women also, they say, you know, whether it's cancer, well, I'm not going to take this treatment because God will take care of it. And we have to let them know that we as physicians are working, you know, God is working through us.
Through you, yeah,
and
yeah.
They can't just, you know, not take the medication or the treatment. There are actually a lot of Bible verses that I've become aware of that actually stipulate the point that, you know, it is important, and God does require us to take care of our bodies and take care of our health.
Well, I think we're all very unique, and we have so many gifts. And if you don't take care of yourself, the gift that you were given, you know, can't help someone else. So when you talk about depression, you take your life, you don't know who you're affecting. When you talk about you're not going to go get help because you're sick. I just had Pam Grier on earlier, and in her book she talked about her sister dying because her husband's faith did not believe in medical care or taking medicines. But each of us have so many gifts, and if you destroy those gifts or don't take care of them, you don't know who you can help. You might save somebody else's life. So you have to take care of your life, I think, and in turn you might save other people's lives that are close to you, or maybe you don't even know. It could be somebody that comes in your business every day and somehow you help them. We only have 1 minute left. I want to thank Dr. Whitfield again. The second time you came on talking about stroke. We didn't even get to touch on that, but you guys can listen to Dr. Ronnie Whitfield with former CBS anchor Mark McEwen talking about strokes. That's a very important issue. Dr. Modlin, please, if you're in Cleveland, check out his Minority Health Center. Thank you so much for coming on this morning, Dr. Modlin and Dr. Whitfield.
Appreciate it.
I think, Joy, you should have Dr. Modlin and I on here about every 4 months, minimum.
I think that's wonderful. Well, I'll stay in touch then.
Hey, Dr. Whitfield and Joy, I'd like to have you as my guest up at the Cleveland Clinic sometime.
Okay, thank you so much for the offer.
I love it.
So okay, you guys have a wonderful Saturday.
I'm in Columbus, Doc, so I got some ties to Cleveland, too.
Okay.
Oh, no, okay. All right, you guys have a great Saturday.
Are you too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
And thank you to the listeners for listening this morning. Again, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And don't forget to mark today's show as a favorite. Earlier, you might have heard Pam Grier. You can definitely check out that interview. That was 11 a.m. to 11:30. I did a show with Pam Grier. Next week, I'm going to have some wonderful artists on. One, Dee Dee Foster, great singer. Check her out. And also two wonderful authors, Tanana Reeve Dew and her husband, Stephen Barnes. They just did a new book with Blair Underwood, called From Cape Town with Love, and that's next Saturday, June 19th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Again, thank you so much for listening this morning. I just want to close with another public service announcement, just talking about men's health, and you guys, stop with the excuses, all right?
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.